All right. So, Vayikra, welcome to Parsha Sefer Vayikra, everyone. I'm sure everyone's favorite Sefer. Okay, that's sort of the point. So, what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about. We're not going to have a Sefer Vayikra. We're talking about one very specific aspect. Sefer Vayikra is all about korbanos. Yeah, except it's not really only about korbanos. There are a lot of other topics we're going to get to on Sefer Vayikra, but it is a lot about korbanos. It's certainly the beginning. It's very, very specific about specific types of korbanos and all the rules and the halachos and the blood and the thing and the, lots of stuff. But I want to take your attention this morning to one specific type of korban, okay? A korban that is brought from a bird korban, okay? Take a look at source number one. You have, we're in the very first parak right away. So the Torah begins by talking about if you bring a korban from a behema, right, from some type of domesticated animal, you know, a cow or whatever, or a tzon, right, from a sheep. And then it says, v'im min ha'of, ola korban or la'ashem. And the rules for each one of those. And what happens if a person brings a bird as a korban la'ashem? V'ikriv min ha'torim, min b'nei ha'yona es korbano. So what do you bring? If you want to bring a bird, there's two types of birds you can bring. You can bring a turtle dove, or you can bring a pigeon, okay? Why that is a good question. Why only those two? Fine. V'yikrivo ha'kohen al mizbeach u'malak et rosho. Sorry, I don't want to get too graphic, but when you bring a bird, you don't shecht it with a knife. You actually do something called malika, which is done with your hand. Actually, the Kohen uses the back of his fingernail on the back of the neck of the bird. We don't want to get into it, but that's what you do, okay? There's actually a lot of interesting Hashkafic things about Malika, because it's done without severing the head totally. You're not supposed to separate the head from the back, from the rest of the body. Interesting Hashkafic stuff.
Did people buy these birds, or they caught them?
They would buy them.
Okay.
There were merchants who would sell. If you came into Yerushalayim, you didn't get a red string. Maybe you did, I don't know. But you would come with your money, and there were merchants who sold cows and sheep and birds and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, that was what you would, that was because what's what you needed when you got there. I mean, it'd be much harder to bring it from home all the way. So they had merchants who would sit, you know, outside the Beis HaMikdash and outside the, and they would sell the animals. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And what happens? Umalaka rosho, you sever its head. V'higdir ha-mizbecha, and you bring it on the mizbeach. V'nimsa damo al kir ha-mizbeach. Also, the sprinkling of blood is different from a bird than it is for other animals, because other animals have a lot of blood and birds have very little blood. So other animals, they would actually collect the blood in a basin and then they would sprinkle it. But a bird, you'd actually do it directly from the animal, from the bird, because there's very little blood. Fine. V'heisir es murasso b'notzasso v'shlicha osa eitzal mizbeach kedma el makom adash, the places where you would bring it, etc. Fine. And then the Torah says the following. V'shisa osa b'chnafav. And the Kohen opens it up by its wings, lo yavdil, but he should not sever it. Don't separate it totally. V'gdira so akohen ha-mizbeach, and then he brings it on the mizbeach, alei tzim asher eish, on the wood that's on the fire. Olahu ishei reach nichoach la'ashem. It's a burnt offering, an offering by fire, and it is reach nichoach la'ashem. Can you translate those words?
Pleasing smell to Hashem.
A pleasing smell to Hashem. It's a pleasing smell to Hashem. Good. So there's only one very troubling piece of that phrase.
Why is it a pleasing smell to Hashem?
Because what does the smell really smell like?
Dead animal and blood.
So dead animal and blood, a dead animal that's being cooked, I'm just saying, it's not always a bad smell. On Friday I was walking and there was someone barbecuing. It smelled wonderful, right? I still, like, to this day, I have like the smell of, like, you'd go into Fenway Park where the Red Sox play baseball. If you would walk up to it, there's the aroma of the barbecues. It smells actually really good, okay? But the smell of burning feathers is a terrible smell, okay? Take a look at Rashi, source number two. Rashi says, "Biknafav notza mamish," okay? You were had to leave the feathers on the animal, on the bird. V'halo ein lacha lehedyot shemeriach reach ra shal knafayim nisrafim. I don't know if I've ever smelled that smell before, but apparently it's a terrible smell. The smell of burning feathers is a terrible smell. V'ein nafsho katsa alav. There's no person who smells that smell and doesn't go like, oh, like it feels like, no, it's like horrible. It's a terrible smell. Okay? So let's just stop here for a second. So if that's true, How do you call that reach nichoach la Hashem? It's a pleasing smell to Hashem. Before we see what Rashi says, like, what would you say?
The same taste as Hashem.
Okay, Hashem's not human, right? So Hashem doesn't need a pleasant smell.
What's pleasant to humans, he doesn't need.
What's pleasant to humans, right? Hashem doesn't need a pleasant smell for human beings. Good. Okay. Yeah.
Because you don't stop doing it because of the bad smell. That's pleasing to Hashem. The whole act of it is pleasing to Hashem.
Meaning, it's reach nichoach la Hashem in what sense?
Of him approving of what you're doing.
Right. You could argue reach nichoach la Hashem has nothing to do with what smells good to me, right? What smells good to me, that's fine. You like this smell, you don't like that smell. What is the pleasing smell to Hashem? The smell of?
Us doing this.
Like doing the thing that he asked you to do, right? That's what smells good, right? Sometimes there's some things that are difficult to do. Something that are, you know, I don't know. You can think of a lot of things that we have to do to get something done at times, which is unpleasant in the process. Right? The process is unpleasant, but it's something that needs to happen. And then once it's done, you're very happy that it's done, right? If any person ever had like a flood in your basement, and it's horrible, right? And there's whoever who come, there's their job, right? To do this, the surf pro, whoever, and they come with the masks and whatever, and they take everything out. So it's a very unpleasant experience, but at the end of the day, it's actually very, you're very happy, right? That gets done. Again, I'm not saying that's what's, you know, the main purpose here or the main explanation. But you could understand such an explanation, right? Who said that it's a question of like, oh, it's like geschmack, it's wonderful, it's great. It'd be great. It could be gross, but it's what Hashem asked you to do, and that's what you do, right? Okay, fine. But it's still.
You don't have to say it's pleasing.
A weird thing to say. You could say like, Olahu, you know, Asa Ratzon Hashem, whatever. Like, you know, the person did what Hashem asked of them. You don't have to say it smells good. It doesn't smell good. So what's going on with it? Fine. So I'm going to show you what Rashi says. And the truth is, I don't think we're going to really get to see so many different answers per se, but maybe an extended explanation of this whole thing, what this is all about with the birds. Okay? So Rashi says, Notes amamish v'alo ein lecha hedyo shemei riach reach rash al knafayim yisrafim ve'inafsho katzala. There's no person who smells the smell of burning feathers and doesn't go like, yuck, that's disgusting. V'lam amra kaso v'hikdir. So why does the Torah say to you know, bring it up and bring it as like hikdir, same language as ketores, right? Which is like this beautiful smelling besamim, right? So what's happening here? So why is that? Kedei sheheh mizbeach saveya umihudar bikarbono shalani. Okay, so it's a korbano shalani. So who brings a bird typically? The poor typically bring a bird if you can't afford an ox or a sheep. Usually, okay.
What if you bring a bird and you could afford an ox?
Good question. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah. Good. And who decides what you can afford? Is it like someone you go to and like you show them your tax returns? And for you, a sheep. For you, it's a good question, right? Who makes that determination?
Right.
Is it the honor system? I always assumed it was the honor system, which is also a good question. Like,
and some people might be very wealthy but feel like they're not.
Right.
Or be worried about something.
Right, right. Some people might overspend in a way that's not responsible.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
If you imagine such a thing, right? All right, ever go like buy, you know, there's all these stories about the guy who went, he spent $500 on his S-Rogue and his wife, he came home and his wife wants to kill him. They had $600 in their account, you know. Whatever, he's like, you know, does the fact that you spend more money doesn't make it so right, that might be not reach nichoach la Hashem, right? To waste your money in a way that's not responsible. So how do you decide? That's a good question. Maybe we're going to see a little bit about that as we move on, hopefully. But what does this even mean? Kedeshi ha-mizbech saveya umihudar bikorbano sha'ani. So it's actually a strange language. So the mizbech should be saveya. Achalta v'savata uverachta. It should be full. Right? It should be full. And mihudar.
Splendid,
beautiful. Through the korban of the poor person, it's not entirely clear what that means, right? I don't think I have like a great. We're gonna see more to explain this more, but I don't think just by reading Rashi, at least this Rashi, you really have that sense what this means. Something about this korban is special, maybe because the ani himself is the one who's doing it. Like, what is it exactly that is making this go? Okay, look at the next Rashi. Maybe this helps us a little bit. Lo yavdil. You shouldn't separate it, right? You should bring it sort of full, right? In some way. You shouldn't totally separate it out. Lo yavdil, why not? We're in source number two. Eino mefarko lagamre l'shtei chatichot. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so great if it makes you, whatever. Whatever, okay. You don't cut it in half, totally. Why not? Ella koro mi gabo. So I guess you just like, you separate it on the top, but you don't actually put it into two pieces, okay? I'm trying to be as not graphic as possible. Nehemar, but I had another idea to talk about, but I decided it wasn't going to go well. Okay, so Nehemar, if you want, one time when, I think I may have told you this, when I was in Smicha, so like you, they don't even do this anymore. Like you had to learn the halakhos of Shechita, even though no one in Smicha is like learning. If you don't learn Shechita, you're going to go like to learn from a Shochet. You're not going to like learn it in Smicha, general Smicha and Wayu. But we had to learn like some basic rules still, and they hadn't changed the curriculum totally, like from like the 1960s. So like 50s, I don't know. So we went to a slaughterhouse in Queens. I will give you no more.
You didn't need me for a month.
I will give you no more details. But then I understood what happens in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so if you want more details, I can tell you afterwards. Yeah, if you like it. Lo yavdil, don't, right? Don't tell you separate it, right? Fine. Nemar ba'of. But now Rashi gets back to this Reach Nichawach piece. Nemar ba'of, Reach Nichawach. V'nemar ba'behema, Reach Nichawach. So it says the same language, right? That the behema is sweet smelling to Hashem. Again, I told you that we hear that, right? Barbecue smells delicious. But by the oaf, it also says Reach Nichoach, which we know doesn't smell that way because we have to leave the feathers on, which just smells gross. So what's going on here? Lomar lecha, echad hamarbe, ve'echad hamamet, ubilvad shechavan libo l'shamayim. So you learn from here, a phrase you probably heard before, some give more, or I shouldn't say give. Some, echad hamarbe, it does mean give. Like give more, ve'echad hamamet, someone gives less. As long as you, what?
Have the right attitude.
You have the right intentions. You're giving to Hashem. You're doing this because this is what Hashem committed you. So you give more, you give less. Sounds like Hashem doesn't care exactly how much you give, as long as what you're doing is L'Shem Shemayim. So does that mean you can give less even though you can afford more?
That's the question.
It's not clear, right? The question was, what does that phrase mean? It doesn't matter if you give more or less? Meaning, everyone give the same? Like, what does that mean exactly? Right? We take this phrase and we say it a lot, right? As long, doesn't matter, Hashem doesn't care, just as long as you have the same Shemaim. Some give more, some give less. What does that mean?
But he did with
Kayin
and
Hevel. What do you mean?
Oh, they both gave.
Yes.
Sacrifice.
Good, and what happened?
Kayin's was completely consumed or right. Something, and they gave differently.
Right. Hevel's, Hashem liked Hevel's, and he didn't like Kayin's. Hashem didn't turn towards Kayin's mincha. We don't know exactly. The Torah doesn't tell us what the difference was. We know one was from animals and one was from like the ground. Right, but we don't know. But what was the difference about them per se? The Chazal say one was the nicest, one was not as nice, whatever.
Right, there but was some difference.
There was a difference.
Hashem's reaction was different.
Right, but that might mean, but maybe that one was being mechavani b'lo shamayim, one was not being mechavani b'lo shamayim.
Whatever
that means. I'm just saying we don't really know what that phrase means. It could be you could describe that. You could define that phrase in very different ways. Yes.
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 Right. We don't know what it means, and we don't know how Hashem is going to react, but we know that He sees differences, and He knows what our intention is or is not.
Yes, He does.
And His reaction was enough to make Kayin jealous and kill his brother.
So how do I know if He's going to respond about mine?
We don't.
Good luck.
Well, why didn't Hashem just make everything equal? Like, why can't everybody, like with Machatzis HaShekel, right? Everything is just equal, and everybody contributes, and then there's no, this person gave more, and this person gave, this is the baseline of giving. There's no jealousy, there's no, oh, you only afforded a bird, and you got a cow.
Good question.
That was important to Hashem, that it was Machatzis HaShekel.
But He did. I mean, when we settled in Eretz Yisrael, each Shevet got land according to their size, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure the smaller Shvatim at the time were jealous that the bigger Shvatim got more land, because over time,
that was size. Population was that doesn't due just say to what you deserved, or that was was that deserved? Or
that was based on how many people you had.
It was size.
Everyone got a certain number of dunums.
That was just practicality.
Okay, but fine.
No, but then parents should give the wealthier child less of a Yerusha. They don't need the money.
No, but there are people who say, I'm giving everybody equal, so there's no fighting and there's no problem.
Hashem didn't have to do that.
But Jane's question is, why not just say, so everyone give the same type of korban,
right,
and then we don't have to worry about all this?
Right. Yeah.
What's the answer?
Because even if it starts out that everyone is supposed to, and everyone was supposed to give the same machatzit hashekel, there are people who don't always do what they're supposed to do, and in the end, there was a lot of corruption at the Beis HaMikdash right there. So even to buy, you had to spend money to get the machatzit hashekel.
Right.
And didn't end well if you read in more modern history. And everyone's intention, people start out meaning well maybe, or maybe some people don't, like high in.
Kind of have all.
Yeah. And it should be that way, but it's not that way.
Okay. But that can always be that way. You could always do
anything.
Right. And that's the problem.
But Jenny's point, so at least set it up that way.
Like any mitzvah, like you could correct anything you did.
Set it up for greater success.
Set it up for more success. Make it the same for everybody.
That's how it was set up.
But Jay's saying it's not true, because you can bring a behemoth, you can bring a tzon, you can bring a... It depends on who you are. Everybody, you had a choice.
Hashem knows the intent, and Hashem knows what someone should or should not have given.
Right. So I think the answer might be, and I don't know if I'm the answer, but one answer is exactly that point. Like, that's not... Our job isn't just to be like, okay, everyone be a robot, just do the exact same thing. Our job is actually to make those cheshbonos, which is very hard. It's a very hard cheshbon to decide. How much of what I have do I want to keep? Again, this depends on the situation, right? This is a person did a korban, made a mistake. So they have to bring a korban chatas, let's say, right? Or then sometimes a person just brings a korban shlomen because they want to. Or they have to, whatever. Like, whatever the example is going to be. Like, and every time you're put in that position, you now have to make a cheshbon and decide, well, how much am I going to spend?
Is this like modern day tzedakah? It's like you have 10%. Minimum, but then how much can you really afford?
Minimum isn't really 10%. Minimum is even probably a very small amount. But yeah, 10% is an aspirational amount that we try to give. Whatever, but correct. But the point is that everybody has to kind of like, and that's a very hard thing to do, right? To decide for yourself, to really sit and decide and figure out what is the amount that I can give that is maximizing my potential in giving, but also not being irresponsible. And that's a very hard decision.
It makes
so difficult.
Like you're giving with a whole heart.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Or is giving with my whole heart if I'm only pushing myself a little beyond my... Right? It's a very hard... It's a very difficult...
How does a person make that... It's like impossible... I don't know. I find that it's very difficult.
It is very difficult. It's very hard. It's a very hard thing. I want to show you... I want you to skip to source number 6. Because I want to show you the Zayin Mitzvah actually talks about this idea a little bit. I'm sorry, it's really hard to read.
Yes.
I apologize. I'm just going to read it, but I know it's very hard to see. There's nothing wrong with your glasses or your contacts or your eyes. I don't know what happened here, but it's my fault. Okay. Yishe reach nichoch l'Hashem. So it says in the Torah, Nemar ba'olas behema yishe reach nichoch l'Hashem, u'ba'olas ha'of yishe reach nichoch l'Hashem. Right? This we saw before. U'b'mincha yishe reach nichoch l'Hashem. By the way, a mincha is even less. A mincha is brought from flour. Right, and there the Torah says, nefesh ki sakriv. And now the Mefarshim explain, why is nefesh? Because that's a real ani. A person has almost nothing. And they still bring a little bit of flour. Wow. And Hashem like appreciates that the most. Right? Maybe one of the pshatim, why we call the middle of the day davening, mincha. Because it's more of a sacrifice. Right? To take time in the middle of the day to daven, that's much harder. The beginning of the day, end of the day. But the middle of the day, that's a mincha. Right? That's a real mincha. Anyways, okay, I digress. The lamed she'echad of amar v'vecha amabim v'vachi chabin libo shemayim. This is the language. Okay? Ein ha'perish. Oh man, this is hard. Sorry. Ein ha'perish she'ashir rasha lema'et u'b'vachi chabin libo shemayim. Okay? Don't say echad amar v'vechad amam. It means that any, I don't care how much you give. Give whatever amount you want. As long as you're l'shem shemayim. So give $5. And I'm l'shem shemayim. I really, really mean. I really want to give that away. That's not what it means. Okay? Ki naktinan ashir shehivi korban ani, because an ashir, a wealthy person, brings the korban of an ani, okay? Lo yatsa, doesn't work. Okay? El ha-perishu shafilu ha-ashir hamarbe be-korbano. What it means is, even if you're an ashir, and so you're supposed to bring more, because you have to. Lo yamit be-kavana, l'shem shemayim. you shouldn't make your kavana less. Meaning, v'lo yomar bilibo she'akorban hagadol shelo yechaper al hakos. Look, I'm not really, I'm bringing it partly because I want people to see, ooh, nice korban, right? Or, oh, right, you're walking through the streets of Yerushalayim and you have a gezunta that cost me $5,000 this korban. Your little sheep cost you $500, but my big ox, and the guy's walking through, and ooh, wow, look at this guy. He must be from X city, whatever, right? So there might be some of that going on, right? So a person shouldn't say, look, I'm giving partly because I want people to see, and I want people this, and whatever. I want to feel good about it. But it's okay because I'm giving a lot, right? So I can feel proud of what I'm giving. I can feel, right? No. My kavana is not so good, but it's okay. I'm giving a lot. Ella gam hamarbe tzarech lachaven litzlibol l'shamayim. It's a chiddush. Even the marbe has to do so with the right mindset. Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamid ubevad shechavanim l'shamayim means the fact that you give more, the fact that you give less, that's a decision based on what you have, and you have to figure out. What is in your zone, right? What's your lane? By the way, that might have been like one of the shilas rabbis got in times based on meaning. Like, how much should I be, like, which one should I be choosing here? I'm sure people didn't know what to do. Should I give a behemah? Should I give a tzon? Should I give an oaf? Should I give a mincha? Like, what should I do here, right? But the point is, when that person gives, the kavana should be the same. I'm just doing what Kadosh Baruch asked of me. That's it. That's the only reason I'm doing it. So that's a little different spin. Doesn't matter who you are, don't think that because you gave more, now you have less need for kavanah l'shem shamayim. No, it has to be the same. Okay, wow, interesting. I think it's a great for it, but fine. Fine. But let's go back now to this l'shem shamayim, this, echad amar ve'echad amamit then, in the terms of what Chazal are trying to teach us here and what this pasuk is here, this sweet smell to Hashem. By the way, how would you explain now the sweet smell to Hashem? Yishei reach nichoch l'Hashem. Why is it called a sweet smell? The yachi bird with the burning feathers.
Because we're doing the right thing, and that's a sweet smell to him.
Okay, we're doing the right thing. Why? But it doesn't smell good. So right. So what's the answer is, who is bringing this korban?
We are.
But what type of person?
A poor
person who has less, right? And what Hashem's saying is, if that's what if you're lining yourself up correctly, you're echad amar ve'echad amamid. You're choosing the right thing for you. That's all I said. That's all I want from you. Just do what's good for you. Do what it is that you can do. If you're doing what you can do, I don't care what it actually smells. It smells wonderful to me because you're doing what you're able to do, and you're doing it with kavan, with the right kavan. Fine. The Or Chaim in source number 3 talks about this a little bit more. He writes the following, source number 3. Razal Amru, Ne'amar Ba'olas Ve'hema Ishe Mishchoch, etc., etc., etc. Okay, Echel Amar Ve'echel Amar. Second line after the period. It's like 6 or 7 words in. Hine Niskavnu Razal, the Tiretz, Mashakashe. Chazal trying to explain what was a little difficult. Ki Yomar Akasuv Ishe Re'ech Nichoach Be'of, Shehu Shave Isar, Mikoshekem Ba'olas Ve'hema. Right? Sorry, where'd I go? But oaf, yes, you shove it, Isar. Meaning that the oaf is worth an Isar, it's a very small amount of money. Okay? And certainly an Olas Behema. Perish, what does it mean? I don't care how much it is. Less, more. Shalot tomar she'ein ze ela letzad she'ashem mitzad rachamav misratze bekorban ani. Hagam she'enu chashuv kegorban ha'asher. Doesn't mean that Hashem's like, wow, like Hashem is so nice. Like, it's a nebuch korban. But Hashem is like, hey, I'll be nice to the guy, right? That's not the point. Val koponim ena muchash nichash ki ze mevi par v'ze mevi. Look, lamaisa, this person's bringing more. This person's being in the middle, whatever. Lazeh nitchakem akosu v'amar reach nichoach b'mehema. So it says the language of reach nichoach by b'mehema. V'lo hispik lo b'mesha amar ba'of. Lilmod mimenu lahaircha laharoscha kilo pachosu mikor behema. Meaning, what happens here? The language of the Chazal is it says by the behema reach nichoach, by the tzom reach nichoach, by the oaf reach nichoach. They tell you that they're all the same. What could it have done? It could have just said it by the oaf. Could have just said by the oaf reach nichoach Hashem. Ooh, like that's like particularly nice, right? But it actually wouldn't be so nice. because it'd almost be like a nebuch. Like, yeah, like let the guy bring the, oh, feel good. It smells terrible. Okay, it's a good smell. So it makes it all, the language is equal in each case. So it's not like a, you know, like demeaning, right? Like, okay, don't worry, you know, Bubala, we'll let you count like everybody else, even though we know it's like Nebuch, that's not real. No, to say that it's really the same. And I think it's lining up, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think he's lining up the same idea, right? That like, it's not the question. The question isn't like, oh, if a person can't give as much, well, it's okay. No, it's mamish. Every person just has to make their own personal cheshbon. And whatever the cheshbon is, that's what you give, and that's what it is. And Hashem's equally happy. It doesn't matter. By the way, why does it make sense? Does Hashem need a cow?
Anything from any of us.
Does he need the sheep? Does he need the bird? He doesn't need any of these things. Right? Doesn't need any of it. So it actually makes a lot of sense. Because the whole thing is unnecessary. The whole thing is just for us.
It's the people.
It's the people. It's not about Hashem doesn't need any of this. It's not hungry. Right? It's not.
I think it's that same not transactional.
Right.
Like, davening is
it's for us also, right? Hashem doesn't need any of this.
Right. It's not transactional.
He's our parent. He's doing it for us. When a kid comes home and says, Abba, here's your, I don't know, whatever silly thing that you don't need that they made for you in school for Father's Day or for Mother's Day, it's not nice because you need that thing. Almost never. Maybe you get a little older, maybe. But like, you don't need the thing, the tissue box holder thing or the, you know, the clay thing that doesn't do, you can put your paper clips in. You don't need that thing. It's sweet because it was made because they love you, right? And they actually took 5 minutes to like think about it and made something and wrote a little note on it, or whatever, right? That matters much more than the stuff. Right, so it actually makes a lot of sense. Hashem's like, I don't care which thing you bring. What I care is that you're giving of yourself to me. By the way, most korbanos anyways, every golden points is out. They end up being most korbanos we eat. And they're actually a gift to somebody else. So what's really happening is Hashem is saying, do yourself a favor, give to the Kohen, give to the Levi, give to your friends. Right, like use this actually to create achdus and connection and giving, etc. But the point is, it's not for Hashem. So it makes sense. Whichever one it is, it's equal. And I want that for everybody. Okay, look at the Rav, source number 4. Vishisa oso bichnafav. Birds were generally offered as an ola by those who could not afford to pay for an animal offering. The Torah here indicates that the bird is sacrificed along with its feathers. Rashi explains that even though the burning of feathers results in a foul smell, if the feathers were there to be removed, the bird offering would look scant and insignificant. Okay, he's explaining that language of Rashi, that it should be savea muhudar. Right, so this is another, a different sensitivity. If the feathers smell so bad, right? Just take them, defeather the animal before you offer it on the mizbeach. It would smell much better.
It'll look sickly.
Ah, it'll look like nebi. It'll look wempy and nebuch. Right. So, but it's interesting though, because it's not like we don't care about the smell. We care very much about what the Beis HaMikdash looks like and smells like, and we care about the big day kahuna. We care about the gold. Meaning, we do care about the pomp and circumstance of the Beis HaMikdash.
So there's a Torah. Look at how many chapters are spent and how the Mishkan.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like we don't care. It's not like it's like this nebushy place. We don't care. It could smell terrible. We do care. Right. So the bad smell. It's not like, oh, we don't care about that. That's not true. We do care. Right, the Ketores was a wonderful smelling thing. Right, it would smell amazing. Apparently, you'd smell that smell throughout Yerushalayim. It wasn't like we didn't care about these things. But here, if you would take them off, it would all of a sudden make the thing you brought look
small.
Right, exactly. Okay, the Torah was sensitive to the feelings of the indigent, allowing the poor to recognize that their sacrifice was as valued as those of their wealthy peers. A passage in Brachos 17a reflects this idea. My favorite saying of the rabbis of Yavne was, I'm God's creature and my fellow is God's creature. My labor is in the city and his labor is in the fields. I rise early for my labor and he rises early for his labor. Just as he does not presume to do my labor, so do I not presume to do his. Will you say I do much and he does little? We have learned, one may accomplish much or one may accomplish little, as long as the individual directs his heart to heaven. This is the source of this idea. The rabbis of Yavne had a sacred mission. Through every page of the Jerusalem and Babylonian Talmud, they guaranteed the eternity of Israel. Yet these same rabbis maintained that their mission was of equal value to their brothers in Galilee and Judea, who worked in the fields, who provided food to their brothers in the cities. But what of historical significance that these anonymous farmers accomplished on behalf of the nations of Israel? These Talmidei Chacham are remembered forever, thousands of years. These guys working out as, shechting animals and harvesting grain. What's the value there? Probably this is not about how much money they made. these guys will be making a lot of money. This is just different roles, right? We know well of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva. But what of lasting import is the work of these unknown tillers of the soil. The relative significance of one's assignment does not depend on the specifics of the mission, how much of the assignment he completes, or its lasting effect. One cannot assess the relative importance of his divine assignment. Wholehearted acceptance and the will to carry out the assignment are all that matter. Accomplishment is not what sanctifies an individual. It is the faithfulness with which one engages in the assignment, which is totally not the way the secular world, right, looks at things, right? I'm looking at results, a results-oriented economy, right? I don't care about how hard you worked. You could work really hard. If you're bad at it, you're going to get fired, right? But here, right, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, we care about the effort you put in. Holiness is associated not with perceived success, but with the effort. Man is not judged by his accomplishments, but by this devotion and sacrifice through which he pursues his mission. The word melachti, right, melacha, implies an employee-employer relationship. A worker must do what the employer assigns him. The rabbis of Yavne recognize that their work as well as the farmer's work was assigned by the same employer, right? The employer in Shemayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was given the task to spiritually save the Jewish nation, while the farmer's task was to ensure that the scholars fulfill their mission by providing them food. Jewish scholars have traditionally required support to survive. The farmers supported their scholarly brothers, just as Zvulun supported Yisachar. Without the workers in the field, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could not study in the city. The farmer may remain anonymous, but the scholar depends on him. Very interesting way of looking at this pasuk. Again, the same idea that it's not about echan amar v'echan amamid. Here it's in terms of spiritual value. Who says which one is greater than the other? I'm going to skip Rav Hirsch for right now. Rav Hirsch talks about a very interesting idea that basically birds were always like, birds are like at the whim of others. They're very always like trying to flee because they're very weak. And that's why they're like, that's why it's this korban of the ani is represented by a bird. But I want to take you to source number 7, which is the Das Torah. Das Torah is a sefer written, I don't know if Rabbi Yerucham wrote it or it was written by his students, but it's the ideas that Rabbi Yerucham, who was the mashkiach in the Mir, when the Mir was in Europe, so he was the mashkiach in Mir, and he was like, he's known for, you know, he has many generations of students after him, Revolbi, others who followed in the way, his way of Musar. And he's really known as like a real Jewish ethicist, in a certain sense. So he writes the following very beautiful mashal in source number 7. He writes, "V'shisa osabi knafav," and he quotes that Rashi. Fine. Third line, towards the end. "Hamikra l'lamdenuba." This pasuk comes to teach us something. "Miteva ha'adam." What's the normal thing for a human being? "Ki yis'aneg li'imatze b'svivos nigidim u'mufunakim." A person typically, if you have a choice, do you want to be around "asher bigdeyem nechmadim l'mare'e v'sovim nefesh kol mere'echem." Right, if you want to choose which people to hang out with, so most of us choose to hang out with people who, like, they look put together. Right? The clothes look nice. They don't smell bad. Basic requirements for a social gathering, typically, right? But if you're going to meet a person, if you probably all had this experience, you met a person who, like, they don't have to be poor necessarily, but they might be, but they're like, you know, they don't have it together. Their clothes are yachi. They don't smell so good. Right? Ubigadav kruim bluim, v'gam luchlachim, they're dirty. Kush alo af la'amod etzal. Sometimes you can't even stand by the person. They smell bad, right? V'koshagen shekush alo lisbol es harech shalo. You can't handle the smell of such a person. V'hu mirachek mimeni. You have to, like, stand far away from that person. V'lifamim gam sotem apo mil harech po. He's being very graphic here. Like, you have to even, like, close your nose from the smell of the person. Okay? What is it getting at? What's going on here? Ava midarki Hashem. What's Hashem's way? Shinetzavinu lalechas b'hem. Hinei behefach. Hashem's way is the opposite. Alav dafka litkarev samuchla. You should come close to that person. V'tami'il shalo gam yikach b'yadav. Take his coat in your hand. V'lo yisvam le'ariach b'hem. And don't be so whatever. You can't even smell him. V'gam yisaneg b'hem. You should enjoy it. Okay, obviously this is a mashal. It's a mashal, right? Okay. Al yomar adam la'ani ata umnam motzei chen be'enai. Right? Say to him, look, you're wonderful. And, like, put his hand in your hand. Don't say that. You shouldn't say to him, look, I care about you, but you should wear nicer clothes. If you say that, what's going to happen? He feels judged. He's going to feel rejected if you say that to him. Smell him again. I guess we're getting a little very, very graphic in general today, okay? Smells and sights and things. And don't you never had enough of him. Sit him at the head of your table. Why? Because Hashem is with that person. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu. Take a look. I didn't bring the pasuk. The pasuk says, This is what Hashem said. There's phrases like this, but this is not. Eshkon v'estaka u'shva ruach. Hashem says, who am I going to hang out with? The lowly people. Okay? La'chayos ruach shefalim, la'chayos lev nitka'im. Right? To raise up the spirit of those who are downtrodden and to re-energize the heart of those who are trampled on. So basically, if you ask me, where's Hashem hanging out? Hashem doesn't hang out with the cool kids who look nice. He hangs out with the smelly, with the smelly people.
He has different taste.
Hashem has a different taste. Okay, amazing. Right? Im yechabdenu, if you give honor to that person, es Hashem hu mechabed. You're honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vim yu'asenu, and if you treat that person like, get away, yeda es mi hu nimimaes. Know who you are rejecting. And mi Hashem mizbeach saveh u'mehudar mimenu. Right, the one that Hashem likes the most. Obviously, he means this in an allegorical way, right? But the point being, we think, right, everybody in their own life, in their own way, at some point, in some way, we have people who we come across and we're like, a little weird, a little this, a little that, whatever the example is, that you feel like, not for me, right? And Baruch Hashem says, they're for me. So, if you want to know who I want you to hang out with, okay, it doesn't mean they have to be your best friend, you don't have any friends, and you just hang out with, we have to be regular, we have to be normal. But it means a balance, right? To recognize that these people, right, are also people, and people that Hashem loves, right? He doesn't just, from this pasuk, he loves the most, right? Are the ones that Kadosh Baruch Hu feels connected to. And so don't be so quick to, right, not for me. And by the way, the person doesn't have to actually smell. And the person doesn't actually have not nice clothes. It could just be, it's not my type of person, right? So finding our way to all types of people is itself, a tremendous value, which Rav Yeruch wants to argue, comes from this Reach Nichoach LaHashem. But I saw such a beautiful idea from Rav Machlis. Mordechai Machlis is famous for, you go to Yerushalayim, you want a meal, you go to the Kotel, and Machlis will take 200 people to his house on Friday night. They wrote a whole book about his wife, right? Henny Machlis. So Rav Machlis said the following very beautiful pshat. The pasuk says, when it comes to Pesach, right? Adam lachem la'os ala batim. You have this on your last source here. Adam lachem la'os ala batim. The blood we know is going to be a sign on your doors. Asher atem sham, that you're in the house. V'ra'isi es adam. What's going to happen? I'm going to see the blood. U'pasachti aleichem. Right? I'm going to pass over you. So why? Because the mashchis is going to hit everybody else, not you. So what's the most beautiful thing you're going to say, right? That Hashem leaves us alone. It's not like so, I don't know, it's nice, but it's not so warm. Like, what's the pshat? So, and he had to. If he wanted us to survive, to have our people, he had to pass us. So what's the big deal that he passed over us? Or Machlis says, this is a beautiful, beautiful pshat. He says, every person, he said, you know somebody, and a person has things about them that you don't like so much. And even people that you like, they may have things about them that are not your favorite. And what is your job? U'pasachti aleihem. Pass that part over. Right? The way you show love for another person is to sometimes look away from the thing that bugs you about them, that thing that really irks you, and you're like, come on already. And to be able, because the more we're able to be pasach, Rashi there says, pasachti chamalti, I had rachmanis a little bit. Right? Usually we can be pasach, we can usually look over things if we think to ourselves a little bit. I do this with my kids a lot of times. I'm like, what do you think, if someone said that to you, right? What's probably going on in here that made them say that or not say that or look that way or do that thing? Or there's probably something more to the story than we know, right? And if we can understand a little bit and get a little, social workers will say, get a little curious about what's happening there for that person, and get a little curious with yourself. Why do I feel that way about that person, right? We can usually understand a little, uncover more why we feel the way we feel and why that person maybe did what they did. And Rabbi Machlis is pointing out, if a person has the ability, and Pesach is a great time to execute this, right? Because on Pesach, you're usually with people who we love very much, and sometimes some people who, even if we love them a lot, annoy us sometimes. It's a long time to be with people, usually, either our friends, or people in shul, or people on our, wherever we're going to be, or whatever. You get to see people that we don't, that we, right, we look around, and this person's not right, and that person's not right, and this one's not right. Somehow, like, we're the only ones who have it, like, all together just right, right? And it's obviously wrong. And but maybe the way to do that is to think about being upasach yalechem, which, by the way, is such a beautiful work from Rabbi Machlas, because he's sort of, like, giving you a clue into how he does what he does. Right, he's able to be basachti aleichem. Okay, not just like me. It's okay. Doesn't everyone has to be just my best friends? Right, the people who I hang out with the most. Okay, so maybe they're more like me. But there's plenty of other people out there who are not just like me.
You think your friends are not your relatives.
Yeah, right. That also. But right, but if I have the ability to be basachti aleichem and to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're also reach nichoch l'Hashem. Just like we're all reach nichoch l'Hashem. It's equal opportunity reach nichoch l'Hashem. There's no one korban for whom that is stated. It's for everybody. That's true. It means Ribbono Shel Olam has this way of finding the good in each every person. And if we can do that, then we can be zocha not just to a chag kosher, but a chag kosher
and sameach.